You're listening to a special Stumptown Trade Review podcast from Emerald City Comic Con. We are sitting down today with David Mack. Thanks a lot for sitting down with us.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And so, big news for us fans of Kabuki. Volume 1 is back in print after years of being out of print. How's it to look back at this and see the changes that have taken place over the past decade or more?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to look at it. We try to keep it in print like all the time, consistently. But yeah, I guess it's probably been out of print for about a year, maybe a little over a year. And every time I do go back to print with something, I'll sort of like touch up some pages or add some things. But apparently this time, like, we had some kind of problem where the printer had lost some film or something like this. So it was really hard to go back to print. But and then result, though, is better for the readers because we had to make all brand new, like, digital files. You know, that book is, like, from, you know, files from 94, you know what I mean? So we have, like, brand new files now. It's all nice and neat and more readable. Like, before the file, they had some files that were running into the seams of the book and off the page and stuff because it had been printed so many times and the files were so old. But so it sucked that it was out of print for, like, a year. But the good news is it's a much more legible book. A much more up-to-date book, and yeah, I went through and, you know, added some extra pages and tweaked some things and updated it a bit. But it is kind of funny when you're going through all that stuff and you're like, you're knee-deep in all this work you did when you're 20 years old, and you're like, well, you know, some of it still holds this really cool charm for you, and other stuff seems a little heavy-handed, you know, that you would like, oh, I would really do this a lot different, you know. And you start to get tempted to start changing a lot, but you got like, well, this is what it is now. You know, it's its own creature.
So also coming out really soon is going to be the hardcover collection of Kabuki Reflections. Is this going to be in the larger oversized format that the Alchemy came out in?
It's going to be larger than that. Yeah, it's going to be the like the Marvel oversized hardcover. You know, like their omnibus size or something. So, yeah, as far as the page count with the Alchemy hardcover, same page count as that, 320 pages. And it'll be like an embossed cover, embossed hardcover casing like that. But it'll be like wider and larger. I don't know what the exact size is, maybe like 9x12 or something like that. So, yeah, it'll be my first like oversized hardcover ever had, which is nice because people who've had like the little books before, you know, and maybe they have a few of them, maybe they have all of them. This at least gives them, like, they can view the art in a much bigger way now. And I have added a lot of pages to it, too. And before they were just one dose of art book at a time, having them all together, I tried to do it in a way where they felt right together. So I added a few intro pages and some stuff in the back and some stuff in between and kind of make it sing, you know.
And so this is volume one. There's going to be a second volume collecting the second half of it coming out later. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my plan. I mean, as long as this gets reasonable enough orders, you know, and Marvel will do the next volume, I'll collect the rest of the Reflections too.
Fantastic. So the other thing that's been announced recently is there's a new Alias miniseries coming out. Kind of one of your big breaks at Marvel was doing the covers for the first Alias miniseries. What's your connection to this new miniseries coming out?
Yeah, it's going to be just the same creative team. Bendis writing, Michael Gatos on interior art, me doing the covers. That's the plan anyway. I hadn't even heard if it was officially announced or not. I just know that's what Brian told me, that he had agreed with Marvel to do this, and that was the plan. So, yeah, as far as I know, that's the way it's going to be, and we're all psyched. Because you still get that all the time, people who love Alias and talk about how cool it was. And it was my favorite Marvel book when it was. I was doing the covers for it. I was reading all the scripts in advance. And I was like, wow, what a great script, you know. I'm really looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Now, you came and sat in on Brian Bendis's storytelling class he's doing at Portland State. What was your connection there? What did you come in and talk about to the class?
Yeah, that was really fun. We did that last Wednesday, and myself and Alex Maleev, who's sitting right over there, we were staying at Brian's house. Anyway, we came in early for the show here, and he had us both come into the class, and it's a storytelling class that, you know, he teaches and has given them, you know, a syllabus and a ton of required readings and, you know, film viewings and stuff. And basically the idea was that we just come in and they have whatever questions they have for us, and we just Q&A and answer anything, talk about anything they want to talk about. And so I also brought some original art to show them. I just knew, like, when I was a student, I would have loved to see, you know, the physical art and, like, what goes into it. And you can sort of, things can be very abstract when you're talking about theory and everything, but we can see, like, the actual art and what kind of problem solving was involved in it. You know, that means a lot. You know, I know it would mean a lot for when I was a student. So I tried to make everything as accessible as possible to them with, you know, here's the art, here's a bunch of our books, and we'll discuss, you know, anything you want to talk about. It was a lot of fun. You know, it was me, Brian, and Alex just talking with a full class of students, and they're all making, like, their own comics and stuff for the class. So they had very practical, you know, needs in these questions to help them figure out what they're in the middle of right now.
Is this your first time in a class like this, or do you try to pop in on classes when you get a chance?
I do it pretty often. In fact, in the last year, I've done it more often than ever. I would say, like, in the last 2 months, I've talked at some kind of school, like, once a week. Like the week before this, I was at Art Academy in Cincinnati, and then the week before that, I was at Baron Story's class at CCA in San Francisco. He teaches, Baron Story's an artist that I love, and he's doing he teaches a sequential art class there. And the week before that, I did there was a Dr. Seuss day that this elementary school had me come in, and it was like K through 6, and I read the Shy Creatures to each level of class. Uh-huh. And it was amazing. It was like such a blast. I had no idea it would be so fun, because I didn't know if they would care, if they would zone out, if they would, like, just be, you know, throwing a tantrum or picking their nose or doing other stuff. But they were completely attentive, totally present. They actually had great questions. And even, like, the fifth and sixth graders, I thought, I don't know if this is, like, their interest, you know. I kind of think, you normally think of Shy Creatures as, like, K through third grade or something reading level. But they were just the most attentive and, like, had the best questions for everything. And everybody was riveted by it. I was fascinated by how they were interested in it.
It seems like a great fit for a Dr. Seuss Day type thing, too.
Yeah, it was really fun. They had all kinds of other, you know, people dressed up as the Cat in the Hat and other nonsense. But it was really nice to be there and reading an actual book to these people. And, you know, since I mentioned Baron Story, I should say this, too. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Baron Story or if a lot of people are, but he's an incredible artist. And we're doing, it's not exactly a comics project, but we're doing a project together right now, which is a tarot card project. And we're doing, like, a complete tarot card set. I'm doing some cards, and Baron and I are doing the bulk of the cards, and we have a few other artists contributing some cards too. So it'll all have a continuity, like an identity of cards, but they'll all have, like, very unique approaches to them as well. And there's going to be, like, a gallery exhibit of the originals in Paris and Belgium in May. And there should be, like, a card set and then, like, a book that collects them all later this year in America too.
Fantastic. And then you're also doing Electric Ant. Is that going along as well?
Electric Ant's going great. I just got, like, the final lettering and everything for the first issue to go over. So I was still going over on the plane here, you know, finessing and tweaking and saying, you know, now that we can see where all the captions and balloons are, just asking for this one to be moved, or we don't need this one, or let's change the wording here. And so hopefully we're on the last finessing stages of getting it all together. The lettering looks great. The art looks fantastic.
Fantastic. So one last question, speaking of comics, we like to find out kind of what's your issue? What is the issue of a comic that you read that was just so wild, so crazy, so out there that you've just got to share it with everybody so that they can share in the awesomeness of it all?
Well, I mean, you told me your example before. So if you're talking about, like, sheer wildness and ridiculousness in mm-hmm. comics, you know, we were talking about that Alias book. I remember getting this script in from Brian when I was doing the covers, and it was, what do they call it? It was some kind of, like, superhero hormone thing, something right. like SGH or something. I forget right. what they called it. It was like a play on HGH. But it was this idea where people were selling actual physical bodily material of people with mutants with powers. Maybe that's what it was, mutant.
Right,
mutant,
they were getting a mutant gene, yeah.
Or something. Yeah, and then they were, like, doing it like drugs, you know, and, like, getting addicted to these this actual physical specimens of someone's body and stuff. And I was reading the script, and I was like, this is pretty far out. You know, you've really taken this to the new level. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I mean, now the Marvel Universe is snorting each other. You know what I mean? Shooting up with each other's hormones. It was bizarre.
Wonder what the Olympics and the Marvel Universe are like now.
They got to be tested for, yeah. It's something like MGH or something like that. Mutant growth hormone, MGH, something like that.
You've tested positive for Quicksilver.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It is a pleasure, as always, sitting down with you, and have a fantastic show.
Thank you so much.